still should try and finish, but still, like, what question could you ask him? What do you have any question that you are still interested in? And what do you expect him to answer?
Well, actually, I ask him questions every day. I hear tapes of Srila Guru Maharaj, and I like to say that they're not... it's not an exercise in nostalgia. We may think, oh, this was so many years before, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever it might be. But I find that the talks, they're not an exercise in nostalgia. It's not from another time, but they're relevant to the present. There might be some particular aspects of Siddhanta that we like to ask or clarify, some peculiar things. But mainly, we need to shift our focus from what is our curiosity to what's being disseminated, what's being distributed. Amnaya prahatatvam harimiha paramam sarvash shakti rasavtim. What's descending? We may not always understand why, or many times we may not understand why, but there is a rhyme and a reason to why things are being presented in a certain way. I found coming in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj in the beginning, because I had some previous connection with Krishna consciousness, there was a tendency to attempt to verify what he was saying on the basis of what I'd understood up to that point. And to a certain degree, that made sense or was allowable or tolerable. But at a certain point, it became clear to me, I think clear to Srila Guru Maharaj, that it would be better if I focused on what he was saying. Whatever I thought I knew or understood up to that point, put that on the shelf for a while. And just try to give full attention and full focus to what he's saying. And I found that was a quicker way to understanding, to make progress, than this other way that he'll say something and on the basis of what I've understood, I'll try and see where that fits. And if we will do that, in other words, put our focus more exclusively on the statements of the Vaishnava, then we'll be in a position to judge the merit or the value of those things we collected up to that point. And then we may find, in some instances, something I thought was very important was not so important. Something I didn't think was so important turns out to be very important. Something I thought was trivial turns out to be very significant, vice versa, many things. Srila Guru Maharaj could tell by the sort of questions that I was asking, that I was not appreciating gradation of Krishna consciousness, development, couldn't distinguish between what was superior or inferior, more refined, more developed, less developed, higher, lower, internal, external, these kind of things. So, for example, once when I asked him, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, he liked to quote the prayers of Rishabhdev from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kastan karma kaman arhate vidbujam ye tapo dibhyam putraka yena sattvam sudhye jasmad brahmasokyam tunantam. This is like one of his favorite slokas. Very heavy sloka. Saying, don't waste your lives like stool-eating pigs. This type of thing. But use your time for spiritual culture. Don't try for those same pleasures that are available to the animals, and not just any animals. What is it used there? The bidbujam, the stool-eating pigs, to make it even more repulsive. So, just I'm giving this as one example. So when I'd say, and that's one prayer. There are other prayers of Rishabhdev, but that one comes to mind. And so I said, what place would this occupy in the scheme of things and higher, lower, development, etc.? And Guru Maharaj just said, generic bhakti, general bhakti. And then asking this question, that question, finally, one day he said to me, with a little like incredulity, he said, have you gone through Brihad Bhagavatamritam? And I, up to that point, it was just a book that I heard Prabhupada quote in a purport saying, this book is written by Sanatana Goswami, it's from Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Antya-lila. But there's this one purport, just one line, but it's very significant, prescient, you can say. He said, anyone who wants to understand what is devotion, devotional service in Krishna, must read this book. That's all he said. But he said, if you want to understand these things, then we assume someone interested in Krishna consciousness wants to understand what is devotion, devotional service, to Krishna. We want to, you know, understand something about Krishna, right? It's the Krishna consciousness movement. We're chanting his name all the time. It would seem in order to understand something about Krishna, you know, not going beyond the bounds. But that's what it said. And I just thought, oh, that book must be extraordinary. And we hear Sanatana Goswami as Sambandha Gyana Acharya, who's going to provide the foundation from which all Krishna conscious understanding will take place. That is Sambandha. So when he said that, I realized the way he asked, and also in consultation with him later, he was sanctioning my study of that. And I don't mean only myself, but in this instance, particularly myself. And that makes a big difference. The guru's sanction to study a particular work, as opposed to just whimsically, arbitrarily deciding to look at this, that, or any other thing. So his giving some blessing, some sanction, some backing, some, what is Gurudeva, that divine dispensation to make your approach. And sometimes summarize it, give a synopsis, and thereby showing this gradation from karma misra bhakti to jnana misra bhakti to shuddha bhakti, etc., to jnana shunya bhakti, which he would sometimes say is an oxymoron. And it says, knowledge-free devotion. As Guru Amar says sometimes, Krishna, he likes to surround himself with ignorant people. So I say, wait a minute. Why would he want to do that? But what type of ignorance? Jnana shunya bhakti, the yoga maya type of ignorance, where Yashoda does not know that Krishna is the param tattva, the supreme reality. Neither do the Braja Gopis, nor the cowherd boys, nor the cowherd men, the cows, calves, etc. That's what he likes to surround, be in that environment. Where, what, why are they interested in Krishna? They're just charmed by him. They find him irresistibly charming. Not that, well, he's God. No. He's so sweet, cute, beautiful, just irresistible. They like him. So that Brihad Bhagavatamritam showing step by step from karma misra bhakti in different stages to jnana misra going. How do we know? Very beautifully. Because as Srila Guru Maharaj once summarized the Srimad Bhagavatam into two slokas, he gave specific importance to reveal who are the greatest devotees. When he was in South India, met someone who had memorized the whole Bhagavatam. It's generally taken to be 18,000 slokas. So we've heard of the Shrutadhar. Means whatever they've heard, they hold, capture. They had many like that previously in India. So someone can be like a Bhagavatam. They know all the slokas. There was someone legendary in Bengal who had was a Shrutadhar. And it's recorded in some British gazette that an officer, some British soldiers, they had a fight on the banks of the Ganga, a drunken brawl. And they were trying to establish in court who is guilty and who was innocent. And it was just one man's word against another. But, and I believe his name was Raghunath Shiromani, but anyway, he happened to be on the banks of the Ganga at the time, and he was a Shrutadhar. But he is only knowing Sanskrit and Bangla. He didn't know English, but he was there. But his memory was perfect. He can recall whatever he's heard. So they told, what did you hear? And he perfectly reproduced all the dialogue from both sides, but he doesn't know what it means. But I heard this, and then I heard that, and then this followed, and he gave the sequence, everything that was heard, and that way the judge could establish, you know, guilty and innocent. So they had that kind of person in India. Guru Maharaj sometimes would meet so one such person was that pundit who knew the whole Bhagavatam. And Guru Maharaj said to them, so when you're knowing all the Bhagavatam slokas, in your estimation, who are the greatest devotees? And he said, Chatushan, the four sons of Brahma, the four Kumaras. They are the highest devotees. And then he asked Guru Maharaj, what do you say? Guru Maharaj said, they're the lowest devotees. And I can preface this by saying that some things, sometimes it's not just the information, but how it's presented. So Gurudev told, there was an example of where one Maharaj went to a village and he told something. And it was something about along the lines of like, we're all on the lap of Maya. Somehow it ended up like, our mother's a prostitute. And everybody was offended. Everybody in the town was like horrified. You know, it went from Maya to on the lap of the witch to the, you know, everyone's mother was insulted, the whole village, everybody was upset. Then they called in Guru Maharaj, and he presented more or less the same Siddhanta, but in a very appealing way. Then everyone was like, oh, yes, we are accepting that. That is very good. But the first man, he had the data, the information, but presented it in an ugly way that offended everyone. Guru Maharaj, same Siddhanta, but in another way, in an appealing way that they could all find acceptable. So, Srila Guru Maharaj, then with two slokas, proved to him what he was saying. First sloka he chose from the mouth of Krishna. As if Krishna, you're saying, who will make this determination? Who are the greatest devotees? Well, what greater authority is there than Krishna? Right? Prabhupada like to say that Krishna is the supreme authority. And it's true. What he says, and that's a footnote, sidebar, that we should think again, similar to what I said in the beginning. If Krishna uses a particular example, think about this for a moment. He's in everybody's heart. He knows what everybody's thinking from all time. You know, if he gives a particular example, it must be a good one. You know? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses certain examples in relation to Atmagyan, knowledge about the soul, transmigration, etc. They must be really good examples, you know, if he used them. So with great confidence, we can promote the same. So anyway, this first sloka, Guru Maharaj quoted from Krishna himself, Natata priyatama atmayonir nashankara nata sankarsana sri nasi naivatma chayata bhavan. He's speaking to Uddhava. He says, no one is more dear to me than you, my dear Uddhava. Not atma, naiv atma, atma yoni, atma bhu, means self-born, Brahma. It's the name indicating Brahma. They're saying, not Brahma, by extension, the four Kumaras, not them. Natcha sankarsana, sankarsan here, take it to mean, by extension, Baladev, Sankarsh Vasudev Pradumna Sankarshan Pradumnan Guru. Shankara means Shiva, not Shiva. So it goes from Brahma to Shiva to Shankar, Sankarshan. She, even Lakshmi, the goddess of earth, she's not as dear to me. Then who else could he say? Naivatma cha yata bhavan. I myself am not as dear. Everyone holds themselves nearest and dear. You're saying, I'm not as dear to me as you are. So there, already, actually in one sloka, he's, I don't want to say eliminated the four Kumaras, but from the competition. And, interestingly, Srila Sanatana Goswami says in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika commentary that it says, Naivatma Chayatabhavan, because here he's laying the groundwork, the seed conception of what will follow. Really, he's saying, it's saying, no one is as dear to me as my devotee, which is consistent with so many other slokas. He said, but because he's speaking to Uddhava, naturally, he says, you, who are my devotee. So then, now that's been established. And this is the method, the ontological method of Srila Guru Maharaj. Now he's got your attention, he's eliminated the other conception, then what? From the mouth of Uddhava. If Krishna says that Uddhava is most dear to him, then that puts Uddhava in a special position. That's an extraordinary certificate from Uddhava to Krishna to Uddhava. And what does that Uddhava say? Asamaho charanarena ujashamaham chaṁ vrindāvane kimapi gumalatosadinam yad duṣṭajam svajanam arjapatam chahitvā bejur mukunda paridīn śrutibir vimrigyam. Uddhava says, what the Vedas are searching for, what they can only indicate, is the plaything in the hands of Radharani and Brajagopis. They're so great, so exalted. Bande nanda brajastrinam padarenuma bhikshnasa yasam harikatod gitam punati bhuvanatrayam. When they sing the glories of Krishna, the whole three worlds are purified. So their padaraja, the dust from their lotus feet, I want to take upon my head, bathe in the dust of their holy lotus feet. If I can become a creeper, a blade of grass, if I can get an atomic presence in that divine soil so that the dust from their lotus feet will, that I can bathe in that and thereby consecrate my existence. So in two slokas, and what did we hear? There's Bharabhyahi and Saragrahi. One is Bharab, means a burden. It's been, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives it, someone's carry around the burden of 18,000 slokas, they're heavy. And more. Veda, Upanishad, Purana, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, everything. Carrying that around. Guru Maharaj in two slokas, Saragrahi, can extract from all of that the cream, the creme de la creme. In two slokas, defeated and established the dignity of Brajagopis. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramyaka Chid. Upasana Brajavadu Bhargina Jakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Premapumarto Maham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatrap Napuro. Nothing else.
One plays Saha and then there's a variation.
No other. Yeah. And what does Guru Maharaj say this means? Because it's Vishwanath Chakravarti saying in a nutshell, who is Sri Chaitanya Dev? Very beautifully. In one sloka, putting everything there. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanaya. Saying, the Braja Gopis, Ramya Kachid Upasana, Braja Badu Bhargena Jagavita. He says, the type of worship invented by the Braja Gopis. He used that word. They invented it. So they have, as inventors, they have the trademark, copyright, distribute everything. Because they invented this method. Aradhya Bhagavan. There's nothing greater than this. And what is it? Of wholly giving themselves. Anaya Radhita Minam Bhagavan Harir Ishara. In that way, Hare Mom, Hare Krishna, she's stolen away the mind of Krishna. Srila Gurudev said, one word from Srila Guru Maharaj is sufficient to make us his slaves forever. So Srila Swami Maharaj, he would say, the only question to ask is, how can I serve you? Sometimes he'd say that. I ask my Guru Maharaj one question. How can I serve you? When Srila Gurudev is praising Yudhamanyu, Seva Vikram Prabhu, many times he would say, he only asked one question. Is this what you want? Or not? But that is their property. Any other question? Yes.
Usually when you tell some stories from Krishna Lila or Chaitanya Lila, we know that some same persons, like in Krishna Lila, it's this person and person in
who is in Krishna Lila, who they are in Gaura Lila.
And we know that all these persons is like eternal association of Krishna and Chaitanya.
Yes.
But do we have some examples when some usual fallen souls like become to these Lilas? And
yes.
Do we have some stories about these examples?
Well, as one might expect, they're extraordinary stories. So, what comes to my mind immediately is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who Guru Maharaj said, he was Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, and he was being given entrance into Chaitanya Lila. But then he said, well, but he's already Brihaspati, he's doing pretty good.
You better get to that level before you have a chance.
But see, this puts us in a peculiar position also, because Srila Guru Maharaj has also told us that a disciple should see the Guru as Nitya Siddha, not Sadhan Siddha or Kripa Siddha, but who's descended. Said, in order to draw the maximum amount of Shraddha from the disciple. So that is how one shall see, but then there's what we call Tatastha Vichar, from an impartial analysis, one may see, as Guru Maharaj is told, three types of gurus we can conceive. Said one, 2 feet there in the spiritual world, extends one here and is taking from here to there. Another class, 1 foot here, another foot recently acquired there, taking from here to there. And a third class, 2 feet here with their eyes fixed on Vaikuntha, saying, let us go. But tatastha vichar, impartial analysis, can also be dangerous. So you have to be cautious, not to get too carried away. Or we risk what's called nagna matrika nyai, the faulty logic of, it's called the naked mother. Child, here's your mother before you, and this child starts thinking, oh, once my mother was a naked girl. That will not be helpful to think along those. It may be true, but it won't be helpful for the child's development to think in that way. That's why it's called nagna, means naked. Matrika, mother, nyai, the logic of the naked mother. It's to look into the past, the background, because it's to deny what is right before you. We may think, no, but in the past, this actually, that's irrelevant to spiritual development. Srila Prabhupada had a book that he made, it's very interesting, called The Light of the Bhagavat. Because once he got an invitation to go to Japan and to preach there, and it shows, it's actually very instructional, because it shows he also realized, I'm going to the place, like he didn't adopt the way he did things, and when he went to New York, let's say, he realized, I'm going to Japan, they have a particular mentality. He prepared something to address that he thought would be appealing to them. So he took this chapter from the Bhagavatam, which sometimes goes by the name of the Autumn. It's very beautiful. It's right before Govardhan Puja. And there are all these descriptions of Vrindavan, of clouds in the sky and the moon and the sun. There are some very famous examples there. One, Guru Maharaj liked very much this Narajupa. Channa, etc., talking about the moon is hidden by clouds, but the clouds that are hiding the moon, they're illumined by the moon. You're seeing them by dint of the moon's illumination, yet they're covering the moon. So what it's analogous to is saying, the body, the mind, intellect, and ego are covering the soul, but it's soul, Atma, that's illuminating the body, mind, intelligence, those very things. So it's a very interesting example. But other ones there's a lot about nature. In modern context, it sounds like a very green chapter. It's all about the earth, rains, waters, ponds, streams, birds, clouds, sun. And also, there are not people in it. It's interesting. There are comparisons made between the birds and sadhus and rivers and sadhus, but this chapter has no people. Obvious persons in it. So he selected this for Japan, and thought it might be more suitable to their mentality, make their approach this way. Like we see in Asian painting sometimes, there's that stylistic, they do it in Thai painting, cloud, sun, those kind of things, Shantarasa representations. Anyway, in that manuscript, or what later was published, he gives this one interesting example about liberated position, non-liberated position. And he says that before, here's the analogy. when the sky is clouded, you can identify the part of the sky where the clouds, say there's one part of the sky, no clouds. This part of the sky, there's some clouds. So you can identify, oh, there's the clouded portion of the sky. But when the clouds are gone, you can't distinguish between that part of the sky which was once clouded and the part which was never clouded. They appear to be the same. So he said, similarly, when the soul is covered by the clouds of ignorance, you can distinguish. No, here is a conditioned soul, here is a liberated soul. But when the clouds of ignorance are removed, you can no longer distinguish between an eternally liberated soul and someone who was once conditioned. Now, if someone was very smart, they could say, oh, but sometimes, you know, in the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he makes some very nuanced observations about Nityasiddha gopis and these, and yes, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur does that. But generally speaking, this point is there. So, when I was thinking along these lines and making certain observations, Guru Maharaj stopped me from thinking about it too much. And he said, we are seeking the grace of these souls. So he said, we want to be in a position to receive their grace. So if we get carried away by too much impartial analysis about this position or that position, then there's risk of committing offense. Then we've offended great souls, and then the grace we hope for or, you know, is withdrawn. You know, we should be very careful about that. But still, like, well, we mentioned Sanatana Goswami Prabhu before, and his most famous book being the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And really, that's a story of a liberated soul. He's telling his story, and another person who he's deputed by Radharani to liberate gets liberated along the way as well. And we understand by hearing this, what the possibilities are that we can say. There are instances, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, someone could fall from Swarup Siddhi but not Vastu Siddhi. That means Swarup Siddhi means qualified but not posted. Vastu Siddhi is posted. Guru Maharaj gave an example, like, say someone is qualified to become a high court judge, but they haven't sat on the bench and ruled yet. So there are esoteric references in different places. Sanatana Goswami's commentaries, others, janma karma chame divyam evan yobeti tattvataha tyaktvam punar janma naiti maameti sorjana. Sometimes in relation to this sloka, Bhagavad Gita, giving up this body, they enter into Krishna's pastimes. How? The pastimes are going 125 years from this universe to the next universe, next universe, next universe, called Prapancha Leela. So, qualifying, so the gopi, the janma garba, in the womb of a gopi they take birth, and in the prapancha lila within this world, that's their first exposure to Krishna lila. And then, assuming everything goes well, then they're posted. So sometimes Guru Maharaj called it like a dress rehearsal. So we've heard different things here and there without getting too specific, dealing more in potential, possibility. But when this subject would come up about, sometimes people say, well, what about this lifetime? Is it possible? Now, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, he encouraged this a lot, and his followers. But in retrospect, we can see the very affectionate, fatherly, grandfatherly type encouragement. If you'll just do this, this, and that, then without a doubt, you will go back to Godhead at the end of this life, to give some encouragement to take Krishna consciousness seriously, and knowing that possibility is there. But Srila Guru Maharaj would remind us that the likelihood of one lifetime going from the lowest position to the highest position is not great. Where if we see someone like that, saying, really, we should understand, they're highly evolved. And what is being given in the scripture or told in the divine book somewhere is the story of their last lifetime in this world. Or in the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, when you consider the magnitude of his contribution, then we understand he's not a practitioner. This is not something he acquired in this lifetime. He descended from the upper world here to distribute something. But the prospect, the possibility, should be enough to pick our imagination and our encourage us, give us some enthusiasm. But if we have any appreciation for Krishna consciousness, whether it's one life, 100 lives, 1,000, you know, in the case, Mahaprabhu's devotee, Mukunda was once forbidden Mahaprabhu's association for some perceived offense, and he was heartbroken, and the devotees intervened on his behalf. They asked Mahaprabhu, when will Mukunda be allowed again to return? He said, in 1,000,000 years. And they went back, and Mukunda said, when will I be allowed again? Prabhu, he said, Prabhu told, in 1,000,000 years. And he said, Hare Krishna! He was like, oh, that's great. Then Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda, come, 1,000,000 years is up. Contraction of time and space, and expansion of time and space. Anything is possible by the divine will of Krishna, Guru Gauranga, Mahaprabhu. We're just happy to have any slightest, remotest connection by the grace of our Guru Varga with that plane to serve Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange. We don't want something cheap. Like Guru Maharaj, as I heard him say the other day, speaking of, you know, asking him, or he said, oh, do you think Krishna is that picture I have in my mind? I have some picture in my mind of what is Krishna. That's Krishna. He thought this was absurd, ludicrous, foolish. And Krishna tells Arjuna, after showing Virat Rupa, Ekang Senastito Jagat, whatever you conceive of as the infinite is an atomic particle of finite to me. You think, so that Krishna, he is a picture in your mind. No. Once some man in Navadvipa was deluding people into thinking he was showing Krishna on some tree at night. Just like in Charitamritam, some people in Vrindavan, they thought, we see every night, we're seeing Krishna dancing on Kaliya. And Mahaprabhu's servant, even, are like, really? And he went to see, and Mahaprabhu was saying, you fool. First of all, he's with Mahaprabhu. Radha Govinda Milita. He's Radha Govinda combined. So this, in Bengal, they have a saying for this. What is it? Gora Dengya Gash Kaole means the, you know what a trough is, where you put the feed for a horse. It's like a big tub. And they put all the horse food in there. And they, so it's in Gora Denge Gash Kawa means the horse leaps over that to go searching for food. So he's with Mahaprabhu and he's going to see. And then later it's revealed that in the night there's some boatman and he has a lantern and then he's fishing. And when they see the fishing pole and the light, it looks like Krishna's dancing on Kaliya to them. So some man was like that in Navadvip, and also dressing like a saki, thinking that's the way, right? Dressing, putting a man dressing like a lady. Guru Maharaj saw such a person as that. Said that someone challenged him. First he was like having all the movements of a lady and voice like a lady. Then someone challenged him, like, this is nonsense. And then suddenly his voice became very angry. He was ready to fight. Not very ladylike. Anyway, Guru Maharaj corrected that one person. He broke down crying and admitted he was cheating the people. So Guru Maharaj was of the opinion, if someone was showing Krishna, he said, even if they are seeing Krishna, it's not the Krishna that we're interested in. Kandarpa Koti Kamani Avishesha Shobham. 10 million cupids personified as one. Madan Mohan Vigraha. We said Sanatan Goswami. Madan Mohan. Why first Madan Mohan? Because Madan, Cupid, this mundane sex attraction, is what's making the world spin. But Madan Mohan, it's making Cupid's head spin. So beautiful. So we have to proceed. Guru said humbly, modestly, natural growth and development. Avoid artificial ripening. Like they do that in India. What is that stuff called? Carbonite or kryptonite?
The nitrogen.
But it's called carbide. Or
yeah,
carbide.
Yeah.
And it's actually, if you get those, if you don't know what you're doing, horrible. There's this horrible taste, and they have a little white spot. I mean, they're just, they artificially ripen mangoes with this stuff. That's like the Prakrita Sahajya. Can't wait, not ready to pay the actual price. Hare Krishna. But it is possible. One of the famous slokas, samasrita ye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhya vatsa param 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 yad vipadam natesham. that, and also, yeah, thing. When the devotees cross over the ocean of nations, they leave behind the boat of their lotus feet, that path that they took. Every time someone crosses over, that's a path, another path that can be followed, pursued, that can be taken successfully. When Guru Maharaj was asked someone, so, have you seen Krishna? And he said, I know that we say people have seen, you know, there are these bogus people, they say they've seen Krishna, we dismiss them out of hand. He said, but I know you're not one of those bogus people, so I'm asking you, and it'll really help me in my spiritual life if you, you know. And Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur was asked a similar question. Two chairs were drawn in a corner, and one man said, you know, have you seen Krishna? And Saraswati Thakur's answer was, he said, you should learn the process to see Krishna first. And I remember reading that in Chinatown, in San Francisco, before I joined, I was reading Prabhupada's Isha Upanishad and having an argument with a Marxist friend of mine. And we'd go back and forth, Krishna consciousness versus, and this point came up, and I was reading Prabhupada's intro, and he said, many times people challenge, can you show me Krishna? And he said, but do they have the eyes to see Krishna? And I like jumped out of my chair going, yes, that is the answer. So Saraswati Thakur is similar, Prabhupada there is similar, and Srila Guru Maharaj, he put it this way, he said, I don't have the audacity to say that I've seen Krishna. He said, but I will say this, that on the way to Krishna, there are signs indicated in Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vaishnava, and I'm seeing those signs. And I thought that was a very sweet answer. Like we know when we go somewhere, or along in a car, there you go, this many miles to, you know, this many, you keep seeing the sign saying, go this way, and the amount of miles they keep reducing, or kilometers, whatever. So he said, there are signs that you should see, and I'm seeing those signs. And that's a modest answer. Hare Krishna.